Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Tim Kaine of the University of Austin at Austin, Texas, to take us by the hand and lead us to prospect theory. This is a paper by Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky, published in the 1979 edition of Econometrica. It's about things we've done our whole lives, take choices between sure things and gambles. But, Professor, a very good evening to you. Rather than give my crude version of prospect theory, how is it stated by the eminent economists, your colleagues, Mr. Kahneman and Mr. Tversky? Good evening
to you.
Thanks,
John. Great to see you, hear you, and be with you. Daniel Kahneman, a lot of people might know him from his book, Thinking Fast and Slow. For those who aren't economists and don't hang on the news of the Nobel Prize winners, he's one of the more famous Nobel Prize winners, one in 2002. And his colleague, Amos Tversky, would also have won it if he hadn't passed away. So they don't give that award posthumously. Anyway, those two guys really shook up economics, which had this framework of rational economic man making, you know, calculating choices. And they did some experiments and said, look, not all of the way that people actually behave is aligning with your technical models. So was born behavioral economics. Now, I think some people misinterpret that and they say, look how irrational people are. No, it's just that humans are complicated. Our rationality is not, you know, shouldn't be too overly simplified. It doesn't mean we're irrational. So I, in the last few months, have been developing some of my own experiments to show maybe these brilliant guys, and they got a Nobel Prize, maybe they made a little mistake.
The little mistake has to do with prospect theory being challenged by the traditionalists who believe, if I understand correctly, that losses build or decline in our reaction to them.
I think the way to think of it is losses are hurt more than gains.
Right. Good.
Right.
Yes.
So, you know, we have this thing called the utility theory, and it says that the first bite of an apple tastes the best, and the second bite of an apple tastes still good, but not as good. So you have diminishing marginal utility. You get desensitized to your gains. When you lose something, say you had an apple and it's gone, that actually hurts worse than getting an apple. And they've done a bunch of lab experiments to show people value their losses more than their gains. I don't think it's a sign of irrationality. There are a lot of neat experiments that show people just value what they own. They don't like losing it. We're, you know, genetically, naturally built to be, you might say, conservative. The mistake is prospect theory also says we have diminishing sensitivity to loss. And I think that's where the mistake is. I think every loss hurts worse than the last one.
We come to examples in your most recent posting. You have a 50% chance to win $1,000. That's item A. Item B is you have $450 for sure. All right, your choice. Tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, or do you want to lose 450 for sure, or do you want to gamble on losing 1,000? And the weird thing is most people take the gamble, meaning they're not as, like, they'll do double or nothing again and again and again. That's the original prospect theory experiment, is they threw these hypotheticals at people. Now, I could tell you the expected payoff may be the same. I could say lose $100 for sure, John, or a 1 in 10 chance of losing 1,000, and which would you pick of those two options?
Well, I know the answer, so that's not fair.
But you told me when we were doing the pre-show, you're more of a gambler now than ever. You'd probably gamble for the loss, right?
Yes, indeed.
Well, maybe you're wealthier than me and some of our listeners, but the fact is, a lot of people are like you. When they're faced with these monetary gambles, they'll take the bigger risk for loss, hence prospect theory. Now, what if it's not just a gamble, though? What if it's actually a physical thing? And that's the experiment that I, again, this is I run in the classic way that Kahneman and Tversky did. I threw out six questions on my Substack, and I asked people to respond, and I got thousands of views, and only 50 or so people responded, but that's still statistically pretty significant number of responses. And boy, oh boy, did the results surprise me.
Is it, just a moment before we plunge into the math here, is it significant that you use the phrase "for sure"? Because that has a comfort value in our culture that is not available for chance.
I like what you're saying. This is the language that Kahneman Tversky used. So I tried to duplicate that in some cases. I'm not sure if my questions I used "for sure" in every question, but it was there. Yeah, I said a certain loss of $100 or 1 in 2 odds of losing $200. So I didn't say "for sure" in that question, but I have in other questions.
Let's go to your chocolate experiment, because you've got a classroom and their rapt attention. What is the chocolate experiment?
Well, so the chocolate experiment is I gave people 3 pieces of chocolate. So, you know, you start, sit down in the desks. My students come in and I'm like, guys, here's 3 pieces of chocolates. We're going to do a little experiment. And they thought this was, you know, getting free chocolate, best experiment they ever heard of. And I said, how much could I pay you for just one of those pieces of chocolates? And they all wrote down a number. I said, okay, paid them the money. Now you've got 2 pieces left. How much to pay you for the second piece of chocolate? And you know where this is going. How much for the third? Well, guess what, John? They wanted a higher and higher amount as they got, you know, lost more chocolate. They sure as heck didn't want to lose that last piece of chocolate. And so I forget what were the numbers on it. I to buy chocolate, one piece, the average bid was 11 cents. To lose one piece of chocolate, they demanded an average of 30 cents. Second piece of chocolate was over $1. Third piece of chocolate was over $2. So we see increasing sensitivity to loss contra prospect theory.
Increasing sensitivity to loss. In other words, you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. Is that where we're headed here?
I would say people go, you could to put it crudely, you could clog one of my toilets, but you can't clog all 3. That's going to really cause a lot of frustration in the household. So that's one way. Also, I can fast for one day. I really don't want to fast for 7 days. We have increasing sensitivity to losing opportunities to eat, to have chocolate, whatever it is.
This is wonderful. We're at the frontier of economics, and it sounds like psychology. Is that permitted?
I think that it's time for long overdue time for us to have more psychology and economics. But let's not be snide. And you know what's happened, John, is people say, oh, humans are irrational. Let's control them. You can imagine what governments like to do with this research. I'm fighting back that we have a complex rationality and we're perfectly fine taking care of ourselves and our chocolate.
So when I'm faced with losses, the first day is awful. But the fifth day, this happens in markets now and again, you might have heard, Tim, it bothers you less because you've already got what you think is near the bottom. Is that how the market works?
So in some sense, I tend to think of it this way. If you've gone through a natural disaster and you lose power, it's kind of an adventure the first day. It's less of an adventure each successive day. And at some point, I was up in Cleveland when they had a terrible tornado last summer. You know, after 4 or 5 days, I'm going to have to get in the car and drive to, you know, a relative's house 3-4 hours away, take the dog. So you can only endure the pain for a little while, and then it becomes overwhelming. And you can only endure loss before it becomes overwhelming. So I try to take it. These experiments move away from the financial side. Amos and Tversky had these gamble experiments. They were all financial. I think it might hold there, but it doesn't hold in the non-financial areas.
What about just a thought here, because it's wonderful what you've opened a door here. What about you're willing to accept a plunge in value of a property eventually? In other words, you get over it. You get over your disappointment. Is that part of their thinking?
I think so. And I think that's maybe why it's misapplied, because those who've been through market ups and downs know that you hold on expecting to regain those losses.
Yes, yes.
Quite different when you're dealing with loss of power in your house. You don't get that day back, right? Once you sell that chocolate bar, you don't get that chocolate bar back. So I'm not so sure finance is the right way to divine psychology of loss.
Yes. Now, the street's advice is you sell the losers and you reinforce the winners. Does that apply to them? Is that their thinking?
They have definitely applied this. And I'm just focused on my experiments, not on the implications. I think I've seen some really neat implications of prospect theory, which is if you offer somebody a bonus, if they do a thing, or you just go ahead and give them the bonus and say, now, if you don't do the thing, we're taking it back. People work harder in the second scenario. So I agree with the fact that that first loss is bigger than the first gain in valuation. I'm just really focused on the other part of the what they call the S curve.
Tim Kaine, Professor Tim Kaine at the University of Austin, Austin, Texas. The prospect theory.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.